We're pleased to welcome Bill Ryder to the program here on this Monday as we begin this week, talking about a prominent figure around here, Alabama head coach Nick Saban. Had a great article last week about how Nick Saban has changed as a person since he took the job at Alabama until now. Let's start with your relationship with Coach Saban. It's clear in the piece that you know him fairly well. When did you first get to know him, and how has your relationship developed over time?
Well, you know, obviously I followed Nick's career for a long time, but the first time I visited with him was, I guess it was 4 years ago. He had just left Miami, obviously not on the best of terms, but left the Miami Dolphins. He was in Alabama. He was the highest paid coach in the history of college football, and needless to say, he was a pretty controversial guy. I worked at the Kansas City Star then. I went down. I flew down, asked for a little time with him. He promised 5 or 10 minutes, and then, you know, Nick Saban being Nick Saban, which is to say a guy, I think, who's very direct and I think is willing to speak his mind if it's the right time, ended up giving me an hour to talk. We had a great conversation. I mean, I think it's fair to say that a lot of that conversation was vaguely combative, but, you know, in the way that only Nick Saban can do, which is, I don't know how, it's not disrespectful. I'm not sure you'd call it respectful, but very direct, very candid. And it was a really good interview. It was a really good interview. He was very thoughtful. He was very honest. I thought he was very defensive, but he was very sort of, you know, in your face. This is my life. I mean, he didn't want to talk about Bear Bryant. He didn't want to talk about expectations. He didn't want to talk about Miami. He didn't want to talk about the money that he made. But when I asked him the questions he didn't want to talk about, after telling me they were stupid questions, he gave me great answers. And ever since then, I don't know Coach that well, but ever since then, every time I've called to talk about a various subject, he's always called me back. I mean, he's always been on the phone immediately. He went to Kent State, obviously. He was there when the shooting happened many years ago. One day I called and called him back and talked about that. So we've talked on the phone a little bit, but we haven't, you know, we don't know each other that well, but I don't know if he remembers me or if he just, you know, I think he does. I think he's a very bright guy.
Mm-hmm.
Every time we talk, he's direct, he's emotional. Emotional is the wrong word. He's intense. He's very smart. But this last time around, you know, I was downtown I guess I got together with him last Thursday. You know, he was different. There was a softness to him. I mean, there was, you know, I've been around a lot of athletes. I covered LeBron James the last 10 months. I've been around a lot of famous people. You can usually tell when they're faking it. A, I don't think Nick Saban faked anything.
Right.
I don't think he suffers fools fakery. And B, I mean, even if he tried, I mean, this was just very clearly, he had an emotional connection to Tuscaloosa that wasn't there 4 years ago. You know, so to say that I know him probably a lot better than he knows me, because he's obviously a very busy guy, but over the course of my life, he's probably given me a good, I don't know, 3 hours, 4 hours of uninterrupted conversation time, interview time, which, you know, is pretty unprecedented in our business, in my business, to get that kind of time from a guy like Nick Saban. And so over that time, I've had the chance to just peer a little bit into the psyche of the guy.
In your several times of visiting with him, what has stood out to you the most about how he works, what makes him tick? Because a lot of people want to get inside the mind of Nick Saban, being one of the greatest college football coaches ever in the business. What stood out to you the most?
Well, it's interesting because, you know, I'm a national guy, and I don't have any allegiance. I have no love nor hate
right.
for Alabama, the state of Alabama, the school. I just kind of cover it. So I'm sort of indifferent in my interpretations or my viewpoint on Nick Saban to start out. But most people outside of Alabama, as I'm sure you and your listeners know, they can't stand the guy. I mean, they really
right.
have a negative opinion of the guy. And what struck me the first time I met him was, you know, that there's a dichotomy there. I can see where people are put off because he's very candid. I mean, when he thought I asked a silly question or a question that wasn't very smart, he told me that he thought that, and he told me why at great length, and he's very bright. So, I mean, you're dealing with a very smart guy. But at the same time, I mean, I'm not sure respectful is the right word. He answers your questions. In our business, he makes time. That's great. He answers your questions. He goes into it. And I think he likes to spar intellectually. I think he likes being challenged. I think he likes to explain himself. I think he probably feels like he has a bad rap. And so I was struck by his intensity, just how incredibly intense he was, his directness, which, if you like candor, which I do, you might take that as a positive. If you're easily insulted or you're thin-skinned, you might not like it so much, because he can certainly be brusque. And it's very clear the guy outworks everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, he has this essence, and it was true 4 days ago, it was true 4 years ago, it's been true the other times we've spoken by phone. His time is precious. a silly question, not understanding what he just said, if he perceives that you've wasted his time, it's a problem. You can see his eyes light up. And so I think it's very clear from the moment you meet him, he rises above that cliche of the football coach always works. I really think he outworks everybody. I remember 4 years ago, we talked about one of the things he hated about the NFL, and hate's a strong word, I don't think he used it, but I think that what he didn't like about it, one of the reasons he left, is he couldn't outwork any coaches. You know, it was, everybody had the same amount of time, and he couldn't outwork people. So it certainly strikes you the guy is a legitimate workaholic.
We're chatting with Bill Ryder of FoxSports.com. Bill, in the article, you talk about the tornadoes that, of course, devastated this part of the country on April 27th earlier this year. To what extent do you think that tragedy had an impact on Coach Saban and his, I guess, relationship with the community around the University of Alabama in Tuscaloosa?
Yeah, I think it was significant. It struck me pretty early. I live in Kansas City. I have family in Joplin, and obviously Joplin also got hit by a tornado this past year pretty severely. And it's a pretty striking thing. I have family who their home was fine, but they were right on the path of the switcher. It was very close. And so when I was down to Tuscaloosa, I spent a lot of time driving around the path of damage. It's incredible. It's shocking. And visiting with people. And what jumped out at me right away is 4 years ago when people talked about Saban, they were proud that he was there, but you could tell he wasn't one of them. He wasn't an Alabama guy. He was a mercenary. You know, he was a hired mercenary. He wasn't a part of the family. And this time around, I talked to a lot of folks who lost their homes. I'm obviously a sports writer. I'm talking about sports. And a lot of these people said, you know, we're going to have a story come out in a few weeks, so I'll address this a little bit, but basically said, I don't care about football anymore. You know, football's fine, but I don't have a house, I lost a loved one, or I lost my job, or I lost all my family pictures. And in the same breath, they would say, a lot of them, unsolicited, but you know, Coach Saban, he was great. Like, he was more than a football coach. He showed up, he gave time. You could just tell people had started to perceive him as more than just a hired gun. Whatever he did, whatever personal interactions he had, it obviously had an effect on a lot of people who otherwise weren't that worried about football because their lives were in shambles. So then when I got with Coach a couple days later and I brought this up, you know, I sort of expected him to give a polite answer or maybe something politically correct. Oh, yeah, I thought he got emotional. I mean, you can hear him on the tape where he kind of moves forward and his voice gets a little more emotional and he talks quickly and excited. It's like his guard is going away. And so I think, and he talked a little bit about this in the story, you know, he whipped up Blues to thinking he'd stay. They made some mistakes going to the NFL. He's never said this, but I'm sure I would imagine he regrets leaving LSU. Alabama was a second chance. But I think that tornado and just a little bit of perspective, I think it gave him some insight into what really matters and gave him a connection to the city that doesn't have to do with football. I think it humanized him, and I think it humanized the city for him. Suddenly the football guy who's football 120 hours a day is thinking about something other than football, and I think that had a big impact.
Taking into account the events that happened earlier this year, and you've covered Coach Saban from a national perspective, of course, you were with him when he came to Alabama from Miami and all of the events that followed with that, and then, of course, you interviewed him earlier this year as the Alabama head football coach, and you talked about this a little bit in the article. Do you believe Alabama will be his final coaching destination?
Boy, it's a great question. And I mean no insult to Coach Saban, because people have a right to leave, and some people have a little bit of a wanderlust. I like to travel. You know, I love where I live, but I like to travel. I do that for a living. And I think Coach Saban has that a little bit. He's never spent more than five seasons anywhere ever in the course of his football career, going all the way back. And this is obviously the start of his fifth season. So I think, you know, you have to preface that with, you never know. But I do think there's a chance that he's going to stay there for a very long time, if not forever. I don't know, it's guesswork. But I know that 4 years ago, boosters and some of the folks there that I visited with, and, you know, you sort of talk off the record, you talk on background, they weren't so sure. They thought he'd get them back to prominence. They thought maybe he'll give them a national championship. But I don't think anyone thought he'd be there in 10 years. Now, 4 years later, almost 5 years later, I think people are starting to think maybe it could be long-term. And in the article, he said, you know, we came here thinking it'd be our final stop. After what happened with the tornado, it changes your view on things. You know, and you start to appreciate it and the connection's a little bit deeper. I think he meant that in the moment. I think in the moment he really thinks right now, yeah, this could be the place. Now, it's Nick Saban. You never know if the NFL's going to throw money at you. You never know what your personal life brings on. You never know if the guy decides he wants a challenger to go somewhere else. But I think it was, I would have said it was almost certainly not going to be the case 4 years ago. And based on my interactions with him, I would change my tune and say, I think there's a chance he'll stay for a very, very long time.
Finally, Bill, as you said earlier in this interview, many people look at Coach Saban from a distance as a tyrant or a control freak, which he seems to be when it comes to his business. But you know him a little bit from a personal side. When he does decide to call it quits and hang it up, how do you think the majority of fans, and I'm talking broad scale here, not just Alabama fans or fans in the SEC, how do you think he'll be remembered? What do you think his legacy will be?
Well, I think his legacy should absolutely be one of the better coaches of his generation. And I think he'll be a coach for a long time, and he's obviously got things where he wants them. There's a lot that goes into winning a national championship. There's a lot of luck. There's team chemistry. Intangibles, they really do matter. They're the number two team right now. I think the AP and the coaches poll, and they have that talent-wise, but there are chemistry intangible things that people don't give a lot of credence to that impact it. There's luck, but, they can win. He coaches for 5, 10, 15 more years. He wins 2 or 3 more. Could be 0, could be 3, you never know. Well, then he goes down as one of the all-time greats. Now, that said, he's one of these guys that people have strong, visceral, emotional reactions to. I don't think that's ever going to change. I happen to enjoy writing about him. I don't know him that well. I've never looked in the man's soul, as one of our former presidents said. I don't know much about him, his personal life. Right. But I like him. I think he's direct, he's respectful, he's impressive, and he has a reputation in football for doing things the right way. He may push the gray areas a little bit, but I think he runs, people think he runs a clean program. I personally have a lot of respect for him. I think he's a great football coach. People who don't have this visceral, bad reaction to him, I think that'll be his legacy. But for people who hate the guy, like LeBron James or other people, mm-hmm. who just bring out strong reactions, that's probably never going to go away.
Great stuff, Bill, and it's a tremendous article. Well done. Bill Ryder of FoxSports.com has been kind enough to give us some time out of his day. Bill, thanks very much.
Hey, thanks, man. Appreciate you.
Talk soon. Bill Ryder, FoxSports.com. Great article on Coach Saban.